This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to Spiritual Queens Badass Podcast, the number one spirituality podcast on iTunes. My name is Emma Mumford and I'm your host. I'm the UK's leading law of attraction expert, award-winning life coach, two times best-selling author, manifestation YouTuber, speaker, and badass spiritual queen. I'm here to help you awaken and turn your dream life into an abundant reality and help you create your positively wealthy life full of happiness, abundance, and joy. I do this through sharing the power of law of attraction and spirituality. I hope my podcast will inspire you to raise your game and start living your best life today. Without further ado, let's get started with this week's episode. Hello, gorgeous souls, and welcome to another one of my Spiritual Queens Badass Podcast episodes. Today, I'm joined by the wonderful Vipul Basania. And Vipul, if you don't know, is an intuitive life coach and healer. His conversations create space for you to explore and discover your soul truth. He is the host of the Soul Wisdom Stories podcast and a poet. In his poetry book, Searching in Silence, he takes you on a journey to explore the question, who am I? And shares words on trauma, love, purpose, and death. The words will speak to seekers who are on their own soul searching journey and want to rediscover a deeper connection to their soul. Welcome to the show, V. How are you doing?
Thanks, Emma. I appreciate you having me. I'm doing well now that we got past the technical issues that I was having before. I'm glad to be here. I'm excited to have the conversation.
We've always got to trust the process. We've always got to trust the process with tech, but we're here. We've got no disruptions and we're going to have an epic conversation, I am sure. But before we get into all of your goodness, Vee, of all the amazing work that you put out there, I would love to ask you a question that I ask every guest who comes on this show. When did you spiritually awaken? What's your story?
That's a good question because I think about this when I had that question asked to me by friends, other people I've been on podcasts with, and I always think back to like the key date for me is 2012. But then I even think like, I think the journey must have started many souls ago, like many soul lifetimes ago, to get to the point where the evolution begins happening so quickly in this lifetime. And I say quickly because that's the reflection I've had from people who are biologically older than me and have said, oh my god, you're so wise for your age, like you've gone through so much already, you've learned so much. And I think about that and I'm like, I wonder why that is. And it's probably because I've incarnated many times before to learn the lessons that I now carry into this life. But 2012 was an important year for me because that's really when my identity broke down. And you know, one of the first topics I talk about in my book is the question of who am I? And it's because I had to ask myself that question at that particular point for the first time. And I was 20 or 21 at that particular point. I was at university. It was my second year. I was studying law and I just started to feel a different direction coming to light for me, away from what I was studying. Like I felt drawn to philosophy, religion, spirituality. I started asking questions around culture and tradition and why do we do the things that we do? Why does it work the way that we were told it works? Is there a different way? And I started learning from all these different people on YouTube and reading books like The Alchemist, all that kind of stuff, talking about things like destiny for the first time. And then I just felt like there was something more for me to explore, and I wanted to lean into that curiosity. So that's one part of it. The other thing that started in 2012 as well was with my health. I had eczema and hives all over my body, and it really felt like my physical identity was breaking down as well as my internal one. So I basically had to seek out Western medication and go down that route of like the GP and then go to a specialist, all that kind of stuff through the NHS. And then realize like none of this stuff is a long-term fix for what's going on with me. It's not getting to the root cause. Mm. And one story I remember that really sticks with me, because this really got me to internally think like, WTF, what's going on here? Like, I've relied on this system for so long, and now this is what I'm receiving from them. And I got referred to a specialist, and she's supposed to be a dermatologist. She was like, she just done a PhD in it and all this kind of stuff. They gave me all the credentials that felt reassuring to me. I went there, and when I told her the situation, she pulled out a textbook and she started looking up the answer in the textbook. And I was like, I don't get this. Like, I thought you're supposed to be the one with the answers. Now you're looking in the textbook. I could have done that. Like, I could have done that if you told me which book to look at. But basically, the answer I got in the end is, we don't actually know the root cause of why you get eczema and hives. It's like a generational, just Google it and you'll find out more. And I thought, just Google it. Like that's what I've done. And you've told me the same thing that I've already done. And so I started seeking out alternative remedies around health and understanding my body in a different way, in a deeper way than what I was led to believe. And I quickly realized it was to do with my gut. That was one aspect of it. Another aspect was realizing that my energy field was also flooded with negativity at that point. And so there was a lot of heaviness that I didn't know how to clear, and that was basically influencing me. And so went through that whole process, and it's taken probably 10 years to get to a point where I'm like, beginning to feel comfortable in my body. I'm still not even there entirely, but I definitely feel like I've come a lot further than I was at that point. So 2012, I would say it was the turning point where the snake shed its skin and began to lean into a new identity.
Mm. Big year, and a big year for a lot of people, actually. The amount of time, 2012 was a really sort of like catalyst for a lot of people having a spiritual awakening. Like, you hear it more often than not now. So it's really interesting that year was so pivotal for people. But it's really interesting because I think, especially when there's like health related awakenings as well, like the story is always the same. Like, it's obviously, I was already spiritually awakened by this point, but I can relate to feeling let down with those diagnoses and, you know, doctors being like, oh, I don't know. And I even had a doctor say to me, well, what do you want me to prescribe you? And I was like, well, that's why I'm here. Like, do you not know? Like, I haven't gone to medical school. I do not know. I'm asking you your expert opinion. So yeah, I think it's interesting because I've heard many, many stories on this podcast from people who have had very strange ailments and things, you know, like you say, with eczema, skin conditions, and there's like no root cause for it. And then it turns out many years later, it's either emotional root cause, or there's like something going on internally that they've had this really specific like test for with like a naturopathic doctor, for example. And then they've like found this one thing that's really helped them and changed their life. And it's something they just wouldn't have found sort of in like Western medicine or in your kind of like mainstream going to your GP. So it's really interesting how we can, our body is keeping the score, isn't it? Our body is giving us those messages of something's not right here. So I want to touch upon the health stuff, but I also want to touch upon the first thing that you brought up around obviously being at university to be a lawyer, because that's a very different career path to where we see you now. So I would love to know, V, how did your journey as a lawyer transform into what you do today? What did that look like? And was it easy in your culture, especially, to step away from that kind of traditional career path to be like, do you know what, I'm going to pursue spirituality?
Yeah, it wasn't easy because there was so much expectation around being a certain way and following a certain path. And if you change that path, you're a failure. And there's a lot of pressure around going in one direction and staying in that one direction. It's seen as wrong, quote unquote wrong, to explore or experiment. And if you do that, you basically look like you don't know what you're doing, you're confused, you're all over the place. And that's not just a cultural thing in terms of where I specifically come from in a Hindu traditional family. It's more, I think, wider society, because I felt the pressure of my peers, seeing my peers graduate from university and then they're getting promoted, they're getting new job opportunities, whatever it might be. And they seem like they're going in one direction. And you see on LinkedIn, like the way that LinkedIn is laid out, you have your company that you're assigned to. And then within that company, like, you know, you do a few years in one job, then you kind of like the ladder builds underneath that organization, right? So you start to see that. And I saw that with some of my friends or people that I knew from university after they'd finished. And I thought, like, am I falling behind? So it really got me to think about my definition of success and what direction I was going in and if what I was doing was wrong. And ultimately, I came back to the idea of, does it feel good to me? And I remember one particular instance of sitting in front of the laptop. I think this must have been like 2014. I finished law school. So I did 2010 to 2013 university, and then you have to do a year at law school to then go on to practice a few years after that. The other thing that you have to do before fully becoming qualified is find a training contract. So an organization, a law firm, has to give you a contract for 2 years, and you do four stints of 6 months in different areas of the firm, and then they sign off to say, okay, you're a full-time lawyer, you're qualified, you don't need any kind of assistance, you can just provide legal advice on your own. But there's it's such high competition to get that 2 year contract because there's so many people applying. And so I sat down and I thought, maybe I should do this because I don't quite know what I'm doing, so maybe I should apply because I've got all the qualifications now I just need a company to approve of me and give me that chance. I opened the application for a law firm in London. I put in my name. The whole application was lengthy. There's so many questions that you have to answer. I put in my name, first name, surname, and I couldn't go on. I couldn't continue to fill out the rest of the application form. There's like a physical resistance between me and the screen. And I just had to shut the laptop screen. It was a Saturday morning before anyone else had woken up in the house. And I shut the laptop and I was like, I can't do it. I don't know what comes next, but I can't do this. And I knew, like, the direction I didn't want to go in was law, but I didn't know what was for me. And now when I think back to that, I think it's better to spend my time doing something that I want to experiment in to find out more about myself rather than wasting money doing something, or wasting time rather, sorry, doing something that I know I definitely don't want to do. Because time you can't get back, money you can. Once a time runs out like a sand timer, you turn it over and that's your life from the day you're born, right? So use that time wisely. If there's something that you know that doesn't feel in alignment, don't do it, even if there may be loads of pressure for you to do that because it's technically the right thing in the eyes of society. It's very difficult to then pull yourself out of that and figure out what is for you. So I spent the first few years after university doing loads of different online businesses, and my definition of success was very focused on financial success and getting to a particular figure and getting time freedom so I could travel and do loads of different things. And I didn't quite care what the business was in. I started like an Amazon business, Amazon FBA, eBay. I had some iPhone applications, Android applications. I started a blog. Like, there's so many things I'd experimented with, some of which made money for a short period of time and then failed. And some of them didn't even get off the ground. And so there's so many things that I'd invested in terms of my time and money, that led me to find out more about myself and basically helped me understand what my definition of success was, because none of that stuff was making me happy. I was doing it because I thought, this blueprint has worked for someone else and it's made them rich. Maybe it'll make me rich and I'll feel the same level of happiness that I see them posting about on Instagram. And now, with the benefit of hindsight, I look back and think, if any of those businesses was successful, would I have been happy? No, I wouldn't. I'd be really annoyed to be running an organization or a business that I wasn't passionate about. And it would be even more difficult to step out of it because it was making me money and my lifestyle was attached to that. So in hindsight, I saw it as a blessing. At the time, I was frustrated that none of these things are working. Now I can see it's working for everyone else, but it's not working for me. And then someone that I had on my podcast many years ago said to me, everything works, but not everything is for you. So you may see other people running organizations or doing hobbies or passions that they're really good at, and they may be really successful in it. But just because you try it and you're not successful at it doesn't mean you're a failure in life. It just means that particular avenue is not for you. So you have to find what is. And it can be easy to get disheartened when you try so many things and none of them work. And then you think, well, is there a point of me doing anything else? Because I'd seem to mess everything up or not quite get the hang of anything. And what you're doing is, what I did was, by going through all of those situations, I realized what wasn't for me. And I was learning more about myself and where my values actually were. So by the time I got to 2019, that then became more of a spiritual year, I would say. So second spiritual awakening, because my whole lifestyle that I was living up to that point then got flipped on its head. And I took the time to fully pause and think about, where is it I want to go next? And what is it I value in life? Now I'm getting closer to the age of 30. What is my definition of success? And how do I want the rest of my life to look? And I would often sit with the idea of death and our limited time on this planet and project myself to the end and then look back and think, how is it I'd like to spend my life so that in the end I feel really satisfied that my whole life was an amazing adventure? And if that's how I want to feel about my life in the end, then today I need to make decisions that are aligned with adventure, with passion, with peace, with harmony, whatever it is that's going to create those memories that I'm going to be fond of when I get to my last day. And none of the things that I was doing at that time were going to help me get there. Those were the things I thought I should be doing based on other people's definition of success or progress or whatever it might be. And so what I realized was, as I was getting closer to 2019, 2020, now, you know, like 8-9 years of university has passed. People have been doing their careers and loads of different things, and they're just unhappy. People are still lost. So they've got the LinkedIn profile. They've been promoted. They've made money. They're in a relationship. They're married. Some of them got massive houses, but they're getting divorced before they're 30. They're single parents. They're really stressed with their job and they don't know how to get out of it. They're still not making the money that they want to make, or they are, and they're still unhappy now that they've reached the milestone that they thought they wanted to reach when they're at uni. So now I'm like 8-9 years on, these individuals know nothing about themselves. They're really unhappy. I haven't hit any of the goals, the external material goals that I set for myself at university, for post-university, but I'm super happy with my internal development as a character, because I have a lot of understanding about who I am, what I want to do in the world, and what my values are. And it's because I've taken the time, and I continue to take the time, to develop my intuition, my wisdom, my value system, and continue to look at that. And there's different tools that have helped me do that: coaching, therapy, plant medicines, working with meditation and walking, music, all that kind of stuff. So we can get into that. But there's the... I feel like that was a long answer, but...
But good insight into, you know, like the real steps that it takes to do that, because I'm sure there are so many people listening who can relate to this, or maybe they're in their 40s or 50s and they're only getting to this place of like, oh my gosh, I've worked all my life down this path that society paves out for us, or the path that I thought I should go down, and I don't want to go down that. And I'm realizing maybe I don't even know myself at all. And I think it is really, really true, because for me, I didn't go to university personally, and I did pursue entrepreneurship, not through choice. It just kind of happened by chance. But I knew I wanted to work. So I obviously had corporate roles and then my first business. And yeah, at the age of 30, I do feel like I've achieved huge, huge, huge things. But I also feel that I, like you said, know who I am, know my worth, know my values, know what I want out of life. And I do think, had I have gone to university, or had I have gone down a very different path of what I felt my life should have looked like? Would I have had the life experience that I have now? Would I be, well, I probably definitely wouldn't be doing what I am now. But it's just funny because it's almost like that sliding door moment of, gosh, imagine what our lives would have looked like if we took that different path. And I don't think there's any wrong path for anybody. But yeah, I think it's interesting how a lot of people, even at any age of their life, really do sometimes have that epiphany of like, do I actually know myself? Like, what am I working for? What is the real version of wealth and happiness here? And I think, you know, we're not taught this stuff in school, are we? There's no education on how to know yourself or how to be happy. We can't, you know, it's nobody's fault that we don't know these things. It's not taught. And obviously mindfulness and well-being is becoming more sort of mainstream and acceptable now. But, you know, I can imagine even for yourself all those years ago, you know, it probably felt quite a lonely journey because probably your peers and friends weren't interested in self-development.
Yeah, no, it was lonely, and it still is sometimes now. But it's, I think over the years, like more recent years, I found people who do feel like soul family and do talk about this stuff and do want to have deep conversations. And although, you know, I mentioned just before you shared what you shared, I mentioned about not hitting certain milestones of external success, and the thing is, the person who I was that set those initial goals or milestones to reach was doing it from a place of insecurity and was doing it from a conditioned place. So those goals were not authentic goals, or it wasn't an authentic vision. It was riddled in how do I make myself feel better and look successful to the rest of the world? So none of the things, if I checked all those boxes, none of them would really have made me happy because I wasn't doing it from a place of true authenticity and alignment. And now when I think back to things I'd set for myself, I'm like, if I reached those goals, would I be happy now? I wouldn't, because I'm not the same person either. So my definition of success and happiness and progress is so different to the 20-year-old version of me that I live my life in a different way now. But it can be a lonely journey because not everyone does want to take the time to reflect and have deep conversations, because some of it can be difficult, because as soon as you do that, you start having to come to terms with the things that did go wrong, that you could have taken responsibility for, where things didn't go as planned. And then you can start to feel guilty of all the time that is wasted by you avoiding the conversations that you need to have. But none of it is really wasted. I mean, it all goes towards where you are right now in this present moment. So, I think there's always an opportunity to progress on any day that you wake up, because every day is a new opportunity to start again.
Absolutely. And I think what you touched upon there with aligned goals is so important, because I was that person too. You know, when I spiritually awakened, found manifestation, went along my journey, you know, there's so much noise online, especially in the law of attraction sphere, but online in general, about, you know, this is what you should be aiming for, this is what success looks like. And, you know, when I wrote my book Positively Wealthy, that was a huge wake-up call for me of I had been chasing the wrong version of wealth. I thought that wealth meant money. I thought wealth meant career validation and the accolades and stuff like that. And I was achieving every single one of them and still felt miserable.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
And that was the whole essence of why I wrote Positively Wealthy, because I realized that my goals were not my version of goals. That was not my version of wealth. And that my version of wealth was family, was connection, was love, and like a totally different version to what the, you know, outside world would have portrayed to me and does portray. And to some people, money is their version of wealth. You know, everybody can have a different version. But I think it's really interesting how often I see in the manifestation sphere people chasing goals and visions that aren't actually their own. And there's kind of this like unspoken pressure, I don't know if you agree, that we have to be aiming bigger and better and all these things. And it's kind of not celebrated even to just be present or to be grateful for what we have now.
Yeah, I think that there is massive pressure in society, like to progress in a particular way. Like the background I come from, coming from a traditional like Hindu family and community, you know, I felt the pressure from my parents in terms of needing to have a quote unquote good job. Like if I wasn't going to do law, what was I going to do? You know, you said you're going to be a lawyer. And they took pride in that because they were excited that their firstborn son was going to be a lawyer. So if I wasn't going to do that, what is it you're going to do? What office are you going to go to? Because going to an office and progressing in an office environment is the definition of success in some regard. The other thing was getting married, you know, being married by a certain age. And my younger cousins started to get married and I still wasn't married. And so my mom was like, so, you know, what, when are you going to think about getting married and settling down? And, you know, she comes from a very loving place of wanting to see her family expand and to have a daughter-in-law and grandkids, I'm sure. But then they feel the pressure of, you know, they see their nieces and nephews beginning to, quote-unquote, progress and their own son is not moving in that direction. It's like, so what are you doing with your life? And so that's one of many things, right? So, like, not having a clear career trajectory and not being married by a certain age or having kids by a certain age, you're seen as a failure, especially in the ethnic community. And then broader in society, like on Instagram and all that stuff, if you don't have a house and a flashy car and you haven't got loads of followers, you're not verified, you haven't got loads of money, you're not traveling all over the world taking Instagrammable pictures, all of these things are great. But the thing is, it can get you to live your life from a pressurized point of view. And you can easily fall into a state of depression because you think, I'm not progressing. Because my life doesn't look like that. And what you don't realize is, especially on Instagram, but anywhere online, when someone shares a picture or video, that's a snapshot of their life. That's not their entire life. Mm-hmm. And you don't know the full story that weaves together each of the pictures they're showing you. Because I've shared a bunch of stuff, like videos and pictures, but that's not me sharing every second of every day, 7 days a week, telling you what's going through my head, how I'm navigating things and how I'm feeling. You're just getting a 1 or 2 minute snippet of an inspired moment that I want to share into the world. I'm not telling you everything that's going on with me. And does that mean I'm being fake? No, it doesn't. It just means that there is a story going on behind the scenes. And we don't have to share that. As content creators, we can choose what we want to share. But it's just about being mindful that every human has a story and is susceptible to all emotions. So yeah, it's important to come back to every so often, come back to your own self and figure out what makes you happy. You know, it could be something as simple as being present whilst you're living your current day-to-day life. You could work at McDonald's and have no side hobbies, no passions, and still be happy. Come home with your partner, watch a movie, and go to sleep and do the same thing again. Like, there's nothing wrong with that, because at the end of the day, it's about how much peace do you feel? How happy are you? Like, that's why anyone wants to chase any goals anyway or create any goals. So,
And it reminds me of that trend of like main character energy. And me and Hannah, ironically, were talking about this recently, where we were saying, you know, it's all very well for those who want to be main character energy and do all those things. But actually, like you said, for some people, that's not their goal. Maybe they don't want to run a business, or they don't want to write a book, or whatever it is, whatever we're seeing on social media. Maybe for them, like you say, helping an organization or working in a certain place is so fulfilling for them. And I think as well, like, we need to remember that entrepreneurs need people to help them too. Like, everyone just can't be an entrepreneur, otherwise, you know, like, we wouldn't have anyone to help us. So I think, you know, life works in mysterious ways, but especially with like the main character energy, what if someone doesn't want to be like that? And I think it creates this comparison where people then think, well, am I wrong for not wanting to be this main character energy or whatever? Like, they're not able to actually just be present with where they are and be like, actually, I'm really fulfilled as I am.
Yeah, I don't think you need to chase goals and live this big, audacious life that you see online, you know, with all of the accolades, like you said, of a book and as a CEO, an 8-9-figure business, whatever it might be. You just have to find your definition of peace and harmony. That's kind of where I'm at with my journey, with so much that has happened. And, you know, you sent me a message the other day about creating a video around reflection. And I was thinking about that. And I think reflection plays a massive role in my journey as up to this point, and probably will continue to, because the more I look back, the more clarity I'm able to get around where I've been. And that tells me about who I am now and where I'm going as well. So, yeah, it's all about peace and harmony. That's all that matters in the end. You just got to find what makes you feel grounded.
100%. And whilst we're on the topic of reflection, we'll dive into that. So how does reflection play a part in your manifestation or spiritual practice? And why do you think it is important that we use reflection as a tool in our spiritual toolkit?
I think reflection is, like, for me, it's been a tool that I've used without really knowing that I've used it. And I say that because a practice that I really do a lot is journaling. And when I journal, I talk about what I'm feeling in the moment. And then I trace back, like, where is this feeling coming from? What's happened in my life so far where I've also felt the same way? And it just gets me to understand how the dots in my life connect a lot better. And if I can do that, then I can get clarity around why I am feeling the way I am now, what's going on in my life right now, and then where I want to go next. And taking the time to reflect has also been important for me, to just pause and take stock of the things that I am proud of, take stock of the things that I'm still feeling afraid of or fearful around, and then letting that go. Because we can really feel ungrounded on a lot of days with so much noise, external and internal noise going on in life. I mean, I've had a whole bunch of this year, a whole bunch of family stuff, personal stuff, relationship stuff, loads of past stuff. And then, you know, you've got the outside world, all the chaos in the outside world right now. All of that together can make anyone feel disoriented. And so it's important just to take the time to pause and take stock of where you are, how you're feeling, and be a little bit more intentional about how you want to feel moving forward, whether that's the rest of today, whether that's next week, or now as we get into the new year, how you want to feel in the new year. What energy do you want to leave behind, and what energy do you want to take forward? So I try to keep it simple. I just, if I'm doing it at the end of the year, I talk about what I'm proud of this year, all the small things and the big things. And that helps me really see, wow, like I've had an immense year. And I think the more you focus on the things that you're good at, you will continue to write a bigger and bigger list, because that's where your focus is going. So your brain will start to find more and more memories about the thing that you're focusing on. And then what do I want to leave behind that feels heavy? And then what energy do I want to embrace for the new year? So that's kind of how I do it. I might light a candle or some incense, do some shamanic drumming just to feel grounded, and then get into it. But it's not a long, complicated thing. I try to keep it simple. So it's just accessible and easy for me.
Mm. It's so important to do, though, because, I mean, ironically, we are doing this as a topic in the membership in December. Yeah. So that's why it's felt so prominent for us to talk about this. But one thing that has really come from me exploring around the theme of reflection, especially for the membership, is actually our expectations and disappointments with the year. And obviously, like, as we reflect, like, sometimes we can feel like, oh, that didn't happen, or God, I really expected 2023 to be totally different to how it was. And I think a lot of us can relate to that one. Yeah. So I know, obviously, you spoke about earlier around your family's expectations around your career. So how do you navigate those expectations in your life of yourself, and that are placed on you as well? And maybe any expectations for where you felt you should be in life? Like, how have you overcome those?
To put it in simple terms, just surrendering to the process of life. And surrender has been a big word for me, because I mentioned earlier 2019 was like my second quote-unquote spiritual awakening year. And that year really got me to dive deeper into my relationship to the divine, deeper into my relationship to myself and my emotions and my story. And that is when I started looking at things like expectations that I have of myself, expectations that are placed on me by others, and also the expectations I have of others as well, because that is one that we don't look at. It's often overlooked, because we don't think that we do expect anything from everyone else. Like, no, I'm open-minded. Like, I don't mind. I'm laid back about X, Y, and Z. But you're not really. There is an unspoken expectation for you, for others to show up in a way that you want them to show up.
Yeah.
So I had to look at all of those things. And one of the examples I can give you is, oh, I'll give you two examples. One is of myself, and one I had of someone else. Of myself, reaching kind of the age of 30, I had reached 30 last year. So I was looking back at the whole decade. I was like, wow, I did have a lot of expectations about how my 20s should have gone, and where I was hoping to be by 30. And I thought about the 20-year-old version of me, and where he was in life, what he was feeling, and all this excitement I had about, oh my God, this is a new decade. Like, I want to do all of these things in this next decade. And you don't realize that life has another plan for you. Your soul has a contract that it is living out. And so all of these ideas of possibility and excitement that I had, they were all well-intentioned, but there was another plan that was unfolding, a divine plan that was unfolding, that was helping me deepen my wisdom, deepen my intuition, to then act as a springboard for the following decades, however many decades I have in this incarnation. And so a lot of the ideas of success that I had around money, a big house, I thought I'd be married with two kids by now. I thought I would be a six-figure lawyer. I thought I would be driving a Lamborghini. And this all sounds cliche, but I literally thought, like, I have 10 years to do this. Of course I can do this in 10 years. This is what was going to make me happy by 30. I thought my health would be in an entirely different place. And so I kind of felt invincible, but all of these ideas of success were coming from the wrong place. And whilst I haven't done any of those things, I couldn't be happier with who I am now and how much I've progressed internally and all the things that I've created along the way and what I found out about myself. And I had to really consciously release those things, because what it showed me was I had a lot of control around how I wanted life to be. And that controlling nature creates stress within me when life doesn't look the way that I want it to look internally. And so by letting that go, there's just a lot more of an ease and grace when you're kind of living life and allowing things to unfold the way that they're unfolding without wanting them to look a different way. And so it just gets you to release and relinquish any control that you have, because all of our stress comes from controlling, trying to control life. Like, we want it to look different to what it is. And so leaning into it instead of leaning away from life has really helped. That's one thing. The other thing is, I had a lot of unexpected, I say unexpected because I didn't realize this until I sat with it, expectation on my mum. So to give you an example, I would come home from work, like this was maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I'd come home from work and she's in the kitchen cooking or cleaning or doing something. And I was working at Sky then, so I'd come back and she'd say to me, "How was your day?" But she wouldn't look up, and her back would be facing me because she's doing something in the kitchen. This is like every day. And I'd tell her, like, "Yeah, it was good. Like, this is what happened." And she'd be like, She wouldn't say that much. Like, "That sounds good, whatever." She'd say a few words. And then as the days went on, the same thing would happen. And I would get so annoyed. And I'm like, "Why am I getting so annoyed?" And when I sat with it, I realized it's because I feel like she doesn't care. She's asking me, but it's an empty ask because she's not even turning around to look at me. And what I realized was I was expecting her to communicate in a certain way that she had no idea how to do. And I understood that when she was growing up, her parents weren't present with her. There was a lot of domestic violence. Her mom was in and out of the house. Her dad wasn't really present as much as she'd like for him to be present. And as the woman, she had to step in and study, get a job, cook and clean, and basically maintain the house. And it wouldn't have been done had she not multitasked. So her way of, I guess, her definition of helping was to multitask and do everything that wasn't being done by anyone else. And communication in that respect didn't exist. Your way of showing appreciation and helping was to just get stuff done. So she didn't know how to have a present, grounded conversation because it didn't exist for her growing up. So I realized, wow, like, I'm getting annoyed at something that she doesn't even know how to do. And it sounds basic to me because I'm doing it, but that doesn't mean other people know how to do it. So I had a conversation with her around it, and I told her, and she was really receptive. So that conversation went well, but it's just an example of how I placed an expectation on her and started to get really angry with something that she had no idea how to do. I'm really beginning to release expectations around myself more and more as I move into this new decade between 30 to 40, and just allowing myself to approach life in a more easy and fluid way rather than having big audacious goals. I'm focused more on how do I want to feel, and allowing life to fill in the day-to-day of what that's going to look like to help me feel a certain way, rather than me trying to control this is how each day should look or this is how the year should look. And I think by doing that, you're more open to allowing yourself to be surprised and less disappointed when the year ends. There's not going to be anything that you look back, or as much as you might think, when you look back and think, "I didn't reach any of those things." It's more, did I lean more towards this feeling or not?
Absolutely. And my goal for my 30s, as I turn 30 this year, was again to release expectations, because I think I looked back on my 20s like you did and was like, "Gosh, like, that was not how I thought that was going to pan out." But, you know, it's like, even like this year, as I start to reflect, you know, I'm like, it's not the year that I wanted, but it's the year I needed. And I don't feel disappointed that I didn't get to travel as much as I wanted to, because actually, if I had have been traveling, would I have been able to give my full energy to the healing that came up? Would I have been able to enjoy our new house we manifested this year as deeply as I have if we were off out traveling everywhere? So I think it's really important, isn't it, that we look at our expectations around everything. And I think the example you share with your mum is really poignant, because I think so many of us can relate to that. And even I have my own examples of that, where my friend Caitlin said to me, Emma, how can you expect your parents to meet you with that level of emotional depth when they can't do that themselves? Like, they can't do that singly with themselves. So I think sometimes we need that reminder of, we do place those expectations on other people. But again, if they don't have the vocabulary or they don't have the emotional depth to do those things, or, you know, ground in, like you said, you know, we can have those conversations, but ultimately, like, we need to give that to ourselves as well, and not hold such high expectations of everything, even the universe as well, and all the things that unfold. And I think that flow and that surrender creates the space for so much more magic and miracles to happen, because we're not blocking ourselves, we're not getting in our own way, and we allow, I guess, every situation to be what it needs to be for us instead of what we expect it to be.
Yeah, it's just more of an easy way to live life. I just found that all the expectations I was carrying, you know, I talked about success earlier, but then even with my health, for having my body look a particular way and for me to be in tip-top, like, health condition 24/7, 12 months of the year, it's so harsh that it would cause me stress if I failed in any way, or my body fluctuated in any way. I didn't want to give myself any space to fluctuate. And that's ridiculous, because as a human being, your emotions are going to fluctuate. Your body's going to fluctuate. Your perspectives on things are going to fluctuate. And so allowing yourself to be more fluid frees you of needing life to look black and white every day. So yeah, the more I've relinquished that, and the more I've learned to lean into fluidity and surrender, it's just become just easier to trust that things are going to work out the way they're supposed to work out. Everything that I'm feeling called to will happen. It may not happen the way I think it's going to happen, or the path that I see others taking, but it will work out in the way that it's meant for me. And that may look different. And so because I can't envision that, it's better to just let it go.
Sophie, my last question to you today then, before I let you go, is, what is one piece of life advice that you'd like to leave my lovely listeners with?
Oh, there's so much. So much I could say. If I was to leave one piece for them, I would say let go. Let go of what makes you feel heavy. Let go of that which is weighing you down, and anything that you're carrying that isn't yours. I think that will create the space for whatever it is that's meant for you to come to you. So let go, big or small, whatever it is.
Love that. Wise words of wisdom. I love that. V, where can everyone find you if they want to learn more about your work?
Instagram is probably the best place. So at Vipul Basania on Instagram, and there's a link in my bio that takes you to all the stuff that I do and wherever else I'm active.
Amazing. Well, thank you so, so much for coming on today, V. It's obviously been a joy chatting all things surrender, all things expectations, all things peace. I feel like this conversation is going to be so, so potent for anyone listening, because I think we can all really relate to those expectations and control that we have. And, you know, throughout our 20s, 30s, throughout any period of our life. So I'm sure people have really, really enjoyed this. So thank you so much for coming on, V.
And I've enjoyed the conversation as well. Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Can't wait for it to be out there in the world.
So thank you so much, gorgeous souls, for joining me for another one of my episodes today. I really hope you've enjoyed Vipul and I's conversation. As always, I'll put a clickable link to Vipul's work in the description below for you. And if you want to know anything else about myself, my coaching, my videos, my books, or anything else that I have to offer, you can find it all at emmamumford.co.uk. So thank you so much, gorgeous souls, for listening. I appreciate all your views and listens. Don't forget, you can also join my free Law of Attraction support group over on Facebook, where you can join myself and other like-minded souls, where we talk all things Law of Attraction and spirituality. I hope you have a fabulous week, whatever you're up to, and I'll see you all in my next podcast episode, which will be next week. Lots of love.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.